Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Remember I had on that nanoscientist, Dr. James Tour? I write about him a lot in my new book, Is Atheism Dead? The last time he was on, we spoke about the idea of life emerging from non-life and how it seems very clear that cannot happen. But there's a lot more to Dr. James Tour, and I thought we should have him back to talk a little bit about the lot more, Dr. Tour.
Thank you, Eric. I mean, all right, I love Jesus Christ more than anything in the world. I love Jesus. He is everything to me, and I love to tell people about him. And I often use this introduction of science, and I'll say, if you want to hear more about Jesus, you just send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, tour, T-O-U-R, at drjamestour.org, and I'll get together with you. If you're nearby, we can get together in person. If not, if you don't live near Houston, we'll get together by Zoom. And let me share with you about how I became a person of faith, because I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a secular Jewish home just outside New York City. And I love Jesus, and I'd love to tell you about why I believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Well, I think that stops a lot of people, right? The idea of the bodily, actual resurrection, not some spiritual resurrection, but some actual resurrection. And you're a scientist. What do you say to people who say, that's the deal breaker for me right there? Forget about ethics or anything. You claim to believe that someone, a human being, was God incarnate. Right there, I'm lost. And then you tell me that this human being who was genuinely a human being, not some cartoon human being, was murdered and then rose from the dead supernaturally. How, as a scientist, do you reconcile what you know from the natural world with what you say you believe?
Well, look, a resurrection is easy. Resurrection is easy compared to what's known in the physical universe that scientists are claiming. You say, how can that be? How about the origin of a universe in 10 to the minus 42 seconds from nothing? You want to try to verify that one? You want to see if that's verifiable? That's a much, much harder problem. What about all the dark matter around us? Dark matter and dark energy is 95% of what constitutes the physical universe. It doesn't interact with the electromagnetic spectrum. It doesn't emit anything in the electromagnetic spectrum. So we don't know that it's there. We can't see it. We can't touch it. We can't sense it. So there are these amazing claims that are far more amazing than a man rising from the dead. But I'll tell you this, that when they put Jesus Christ into the grave, he came out of the grave 3 days later, and there were a bunch of witnesses. There were over 500 witnesses at one time. There were many witnesses that at first they heard about this, they didn't believe it. There was a man named Thomas. He said, look, I'm not going to believe this. The disciples said, no, we saw him. He said, I don't believe it. He said, I'm not going to believe it unless I take my finger and stick it into the hole in his hands, and unless I stick my hand into the hole in his side. Because when Jesus was on that cross, they wanted to make sure that he was dead. High value entity there, and they want to make sure he was dead. No mistakes here. They shoved a spear into his side from below him. It went so deep, blood and water gushed out. Roman soldier would turn his spear, pull it out 90 degrees, and just leave a gaping hole. Jesus appears to them a few days later. He says, Thomas, come here. You wanted to see? Take your finger and put it in the hole in my hands. And take your hand and put it into the hole in my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing. No imposter is going to be walking around with a hole in their hands and a hole in their side so big that a man can stick his hand into it.
Well, now, obviously, playing devil's advocate, people would usually say, I think, that's an account that's made up. That never happened. I mean, how do you know that, you know, what it says in these gospels? Why would you take that so literally?
That's a fair question. And so what happens is these were enthusiasts, no doubt. But enthusiasts are generally the ones that write about a certain topic. So skiers write about skiing, skydivers write about skydiving. That doesn't make them unreliable. But then you look at the extra-biblical accounts. There were historians of that day. Josephus was a Jewish historian that wasn't at all friendly to those that were following Jesus, that was writing about these disciples. There was Tacitus writing to his other, so this is a Roman officer, writing to other Roman officers how to deal with these disciples that are proclaiming that Jesus had risen from the dead. How are we going to deal with them? So then you have these other writings. There's more eyewitness account at this event than the vast majority of things that are written historically. So much eyewitness account. And then they're writing about this. But here's the key, Eric. I would be willing to die for what I believe. You would die for what you believe. Many people do this. There's nothing unique about that. But these people were not dying for what they believed to be true. They were dying for what they knew to be true, because they saw Jesus, the risen Lord, with their own eyes. They touched him. They spoke with him. They fellowshipped with him. They died for what they knew to be true, and nobody dies for what they know to be a lie. And you look at the extra-biblical writings about how these people died. Peter was crucified upside down. One of the disciples was boiled in oil. Another was flayed alive, meaning that they were pinned down to the ground and their skin was peeled off them like a fish. You would think that when the oil is heating up, if this were not true, the disciple would have said, psych, April Fools, let me show you where the body is. These men died for what they knew to be true. And it wasn't just men. It was men, women, many people were dying for what they knew to be true, the risen Savior. And the amazing thing is this, Eric, I talk to people all the time. And the vast majority of people that I speak with are university type people. They're either undergraduates, graduates, postdocs, professors, or medical professionals from across the street. And every week I will see somebody go from not believing in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ to believing in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ in this 30-minute conversation. And do you know how I explain that? How could I ever take someone who's highly educated in the scientific realm, scientist and engineer, and go from not believing to believing in a 30-minute conversation? And it's because the truth of the resurrection is already written on their heart. It's already there. I'm just bringing them to the point of confession, to what's already there. I could never, never convince them of something so incredible as a physical resurrection, something none of us have ever seen with our own eyes. Had it not been true that the truth of the resurrection is already there on their heart. And that's what I leverage. And I see it working every week.
Now, when you say that's what you leverage, what do you mean by that? Because I think I can see somebody, you know, just looking at all of this and eventually saying, you know what, I guess that can be right. And then you and I believe that the Holy Spirit gets involved, that God himself comes into us and helps us to see. But you're saying something I don't know if I've heard anyone say before. I know you've said it before in this program, but that idea that they're already predisposed to believe this on some level.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because I think it would be way too hard of a requirement. Because the Bible says you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead and you will be saved. If he's going to put before us a requirement of believing something that is so incredible as a physical resurrection, there has to be some help there from God. And so what he's done is he's already written it on the hearts of men and women so that when I share it, that then resonates with them. Look, I couldn't convince them that a man named Santa Claus lives in the North Pole, even though it's more believable.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the existence of Santa Claus and Bigfoot. Don't go away. Hey, folks, you wish you remembered names better and thought more clearly? Improve your memory with VivaLore Memory Support. VivaLore's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss when her mother had dementia. Divine encounters, faith, and her background as a pharmacist led Susan Gibson to create VivaLore Memory Support. VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It's won numerous awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit VivaLore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. VivaLore is for those with normal memory, mild, or severe memory loss. Do not wait till your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R. Go to VivaLore.com, buy 3, and get 40% off automatically applied. That's 40% off if you order 3. The makers pray that God's healing presence rests on every pill. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com. Check it out. Folks, I'm talking to James Tour, as featured in my book, Is Atheism Dead? But we're talking about things not in this book. Jim, you're talking about bringing people to faith and the passion that you have. It strikes me that part of the reason you're successful in helping people cross over into believing is because of your own zeal, your own credibility. It doesn't seem likely that you'd be making this up. You sound passionate, but you don't seem crazy. I have to think that your professional credentials give you a leg up when you talk to some of your colleagues, because they already are starting knowing just who you are and the kind of work you've done.
That's certainly true. And I've had people say, look, you know, if you believe this, I can certainly believe this. And it just resonates with them. And I explain these things to them, but there's no doubt my credentials are helping me along with this. But Eric, I could not convince them about a resurrection had the truth not already been there in their heart. It is there. And as you know, the Bible talks about election. The Bible talks about this sort of thing, that God has spoken to the hearts of people. We know that the Holy Spirit works on the heart. When I'm sharing, I'm not alone in this. The Holy Spirit, it's resonating. I can't convince them of strange things. I can't convince them of something like this. Like I was saying, I can't convince them that a man named Santa Claus lives on the North Pole and wears a red outfit and makes toys, although it's more believable that a man might live on the North Pole in a red outfit and make toys than it is somebody rising from the dead. But the Holy Spirit resonates with that.
So you're saying it's possible that Santa Claus does exist. Is that what you're saying?
He might be there.
I can't wait. I knew he was real. Let me ask you, you said this the last time you were on this program over a year ago, but tell my audience, just so they know your story, how did you grow up and how did you come to faith?
I grew up in a secular Jewish home just outside New York City. I was born in Manhattan, raised just north of the city. When I was 18, I went to college, and shortly after I arrived, I met a guy. We were doing laundry in the laundry room, and we got to talking, and I asked him what he wanted to do when he was done with school. He said, lay ministry. I said, I don't know what that means. And he was clear that to him that I didn't know much about Jesus Christ. And I knew nothing about Jesus. I knew nothing. I didn't even know there was a claim on the table that Jesus died for me. I'm sure I had heard it, but it never resonated.
What was your major and where were you in college as an undergrad?
I was majoring in chemistry and I was at Syracuse University.
Okay, so some guy starts talking to you about this. All right.
And he gave me a little illustration of the gospel. Man on one side, God on the other side, chasm of sin separating us. And he said, and they had me read a verse from the Bible, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I said, I'm not a sinner. I've never killed anybody. I never robbed a bank. And that is typical secular Jewish mindset. It's not some little thing. It's not a thought. It's not, you got to do something really bad to be a sinner. And then he had me read a verse out of Matthew 5:28. If you look, Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust for her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And that hit me because I didn't know how to look at a woman any other way. And for some reason, that just resonated with me, and it really hit me hard. Then when he came around to showing me in the Bible that there's nothing I could do to warrant salvation, that it's a gift of God, and it comes through confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And he probably could have closed the deal right there, but he didn't know how to do it. It was November of my freshman year, a few months later, that I ended up giving my life to the Lord. And I bowed my knee to the Lord. I was all alone in my room. And I said, Lord, forgive me because I am a sinner. And I felt this amazing peace come over me, Eric, like I had never known before, and forgiveness. And then just off to my right, somebody was standing there. My roommate wasn't there. The door was closed. I couldn't see clearly, but a man was standing, and forgiveness and love was being poured out. And I had this sense that Jesus Christ had entered my room. And love and forgiveness. I wasn't scared, not one bit. Just kindness and love was being poured out. This burden of sin lifted from me. I didn't know what to say. I don't know how long I was there. I was bursting into tears. Finally, I got up. All I remember, I was wiping my face, standing up. I didn't tell anybody. What's this Jewish kid from New York City going to say? And 2 weeks later, the guy who shared with me saw me walking on the floor. He says, Jim, have you received Jesus in your heart? I said, I think I have. Why do you ask? He said, you haven't stopped smiling for weeks. I was different. And I said, how can I keep this closeness to God? He said, if you read your Bible every day, you'll stay close to God. If you don't, you won't. I have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. When I'm done, I start again. Genesis chapter 1 through Revelation chapter 22. For over 40 years, every day, picking up where I left off the day before. It changed everything in my life, my perspective on things. And I used to be a very shy, quiet, very sad individual. And God changed my life.
When you talk about reading the Bible all the way through, Do you ever have, or have you, in all these years, had supernatural experiences, you know, hearing from God, seeing visions, or anything along those lines? I mean, because everybody's different. Some people get a lot of that. Some people get none of that. Some people get a little of that. I've had a little of that. Have you ever had anything along those lines?
That sense where Jesus was in my room when I was 18, I never had anything like that again. I have had experiences where I have had amazing answers to prayer, but people could chalk it up to coincidence. They would chalk it up to coincidence, and the doubters would. To me, it was a direct answer to prayer. And I see this sort of thing happen lots of times in my life, many times. And I've talked about these things on videos and what God has done, and the skeptic will chalk it up to coincidence. But I haven't had the supernatural like I had with that experience in my room ever again. And I'll tell you that, but to me, I love Jesus more than anything. He is the best, the best, the best. And I want to tell everybody I can about Jesus because I want them to experience what I experience with Jesus. He is the best. God looks at us through the prism of Jesus Christ. How could a person ever approach God of the universe? This is what bothered the Jews of that day. Jesus was calling God his father, and it bothered them. And he had this closeness. How could you ever approach God and call him father like this? And every goodness comes to us through the prism of Jesus Christ. Every kindness. We can approach God because of what Jesus has done. We can approach him because of Jesus. Jesus has opened the door for everything. All good is funneled to us through Jesus Christ. He's so good and gracious and kind in every way. I love him so much. And that's my message, Eric. And that's what I like to tell people.
Well, you know, when you talk about reading the Bible, I always think, okay, so when you're going through Chronicles and it's just all these long genealogies, do you ever wonder if maybe I should skip that part and get to something with more action in it?
I love it because my analytical sense comes in and I start taking these names and correlating them and remember this name here and this name here. And I love it. It just pieces together for me. I even love the genealogies. I love them. Well, I love every word in that book.
For me, what's funny about the genealogies is anybody who wants to say that I think the Bible is made up. I mean, who would make up these incredibly detailed genealogies with, you know, and then they'll just make a kind of a quirky side comment. And his sister, you know, lived in Padan Aram and was the mother of. So you just think, well, this is as baroque and complex as anything I've ever read. Why would they keep such extremely detailed records? Who would make such a thing up? It's hard for me to believe that skeptics can be serious when they dismiss the Bible out of hand, when it has that kind of literature within it.
No serious skeptic dismisses this. When you look at the names in the New Testament, Peter Williams has shown all this. They correlate exactly the names that were common to the times. When you look at the shrubs that it mentions, they were the shrubs of that particular locale in that particular place in Palestine. You couldn't have written this in Rome. You had to have been there to know this level of detail, to know what the weather was at this time, what the river heights were going to be at such and such time. It is so well documented that no serious skeptic, there's a lot of foolish skeptics that say all sorts of idiotic things, but no serious skeptic dismisses these things.
We're going to be right back talking to Dr. James Tour.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about $1 a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Folks, I'm talking to Dr. James Tour, Rice University, Houston, Texas. Jim, you haven't written a popular level book, which is why I said I have to put your story and the information that we were sharing in my book, Is Atheism Dead? Because I feel like the world needs to know this. You've shared it on YouTube. I will always associate this book with you because you and Dr. Stephen Collins were really the impeti, what's the plural of impetus, in getting me to write this. I thought that information and that information is just crazy important, needs to be pushed out there into the culture, anybody with an open mind. Have you tracked at all biblical archaeology? We've talked about science, but I'm astonished at how the record, archaeological record, has over and over again corroborated what the scriptures say. It doesn't make any sense except that it's true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, right down to the specific rock types, and the geography is so precise in the Bible, and you can go and see it. My daughter lives in Israel. She made Aliyah many years ago. And so I go to Israel quite often, and you just look at it, and you look at the Bible, and you look at the things that are there. I remember the first time I was on Mount Carmel, and I was looking down. This is where Elijah called down the fire and to consume the offering, and where the priests were killed right there. And he said, go down to the river and get the water. And I remember saying to this Jewish colleague, I said, where's this Kishon River? Where's the river? I don't see the river. He says, way down. It's a little stream, you know, by American or Canadian standards, it's a puddle. But that's the river down there. Now, there would be seasons because it's surrounded by mountains where that's going to be a gushing river. But you see just the detail. You can say, okay, in the Bible, it says this is here. And I said, where's Mount Gilboa? You should be able to see Mount. He said, that's Mount Gilboa. Everything is exactly where it should be. That's why no serious skeptic can dismiss this. It's overwhelming. The geography, right? And it's not just the mountains. It's right down to the precise plant type that is there. The things that grow in those places. It's utterly amazing.
I was amazed when I was talking to Dr. Stephen Collins, the archaeologist who discovers biblical Sodom, because I thought to myself, they wrote an article, you probably realize, came out 2 weeks ago, in Nature. I mean, one of the premier scientific journals in the world. 21 scientists have analyzed this information going back years now. I mean, they poured over every detail. I mean, there's so many different kinds of science involved. And they come up with the conclusion that absolutely this was a cosmic airburst event, a meteorite, asteroid, whatever, like Tunguska, Siberia, comes in, explodes, just incinerates, devastates the largest area. There's no other explanation. It all happened exactly in accordance with what the scripture says. And so, of course, people can say, well, I mean, it's this mythical thing that happened, and some people recorded it in the Bible. But what I find interesting is if you're logical, you'd say, yes, but how did Stephen Collins come to this place to excavate, to find all this stuff so that the scientists could go over it in detail? He came to that very spot by reading Genesis and saying, what does the Word of God, which he believes is really the Word of God, what does it say about the location of Sodom? And it's only from using that as a template that he was led to this spot. And then he thought, okay, well, that's what the Bible says, so let's dig. And sure enough, they find all this stuff. So everywhere you look, I mean, it's evidence kind of, you know, cross-references and cross-references, and it becomes this web of evidence that you really do have to be a little bit willful to bat it away.
I think that that's absolutely right. And you know, for us, for me and you, we love the Word of God. We love the Bible. And we take this, it's just implicitly true. But then it doesn't stop there. It substantiates itself over and over again. It substantiates itself in the archaeology. It substantiates itself when it proclaims that there is a beginning to the universe. I mean, this was utterly unheard of, that there's a beginning to the universe. In fact, most scientists in the 1950s just felt it always was. And this nonsensical claim that had been put forth in the 1920s, that there was this big bang, this start to the universe, that was a bunch of nonsense. It wasn't until 1964, in my lifetime, in 1964, cosmic background microwave radiation nailed it, that there was a beginning to the universe, and scientists said, well, I guess that's true. So there are these pieces that it says over and over again, screaming out, I am real, man, believe me, this is here. We've got this.
It's fun.
And it's over and over again. So it's there.
The story of the Big Bang, I mean, that's the first chapter of my book, as you know. I find a lot of this stuff so delightful that I find it funny that Einstein in 1911, before he's Einstein, before people know who he is, I mean, he's still, you know, laboring along, he comes up with equations that seem clearly to show that space is expanding or maybe contracting, probably expanding. But he immediately is insecure and says, oh, what are my colleagues going to think? I can't say that. I'm a nobody, and I want to be a success. So I'm going to shut up. In fact, I'll create this cosmological fudge factor. I'll bake it in so that it shows that there is no expansion. And of course, later on, he calls it the greatest blunder of his life. We're going to pick up right there talking about the Big Bang and other fun things with Dr. James Tour. Benny and the Jets.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Folks, I'm talking to Dr. James Tour. I was talking about the first part of my book is science, and then I get into biblical archaeology, then I get into arguments of atheism and the atheist. But in the first part of the book, I talk about what you taught me, this idea of abiogenesis. I talk about the fine-tuned universe. But the first part, I talk about the Big Bang, and you were just referencing it. We have almost an obligation to go back, which is why I start the book with the story of the Big Bang, to understand how dramatic it is, this idea that suddenly in 1911, Einstein discovers like, it looks like the universe is expanding, which means it expanded from something. That feels too much like religious stuff. And he was so insecure in 1911 that he tried to bury it. And then these other folks come out, Lemaître and Friedman and Hubble, I guess. And they say, no, you got it right. Why are you hiding this? And he was really peeved over this, that he had to deal with this. I think he finally reckons that it's true in 1929 or something like that. Because the implications of singularity, the idea that there was a time before which we cannot go, out of which the entire universe of time and space emerged. You were right. You said this earlier, that believing the resurrection is nothing compared to believing that. I mean, as a scientist, can you even imagine a point of infinite density, infinite heat? How do we, you know, as a scientist, what do you make of that idea? It seems very tough to get.
Yes, it's very hard. It's very hard, yet people will accept this. And then the resurrection seems incredible. The resurrection of a man who's been dead for 3 days, this is nothing. I mean, all the molecules are approximately in place. They're all right there. So the resurrection from the dead has profound implications concerning our faith. But if you just look at it as far as miracles, science is pushing far greater miracles than this all the time. And scientists accept it. Like this miracle of life, you know, coming from non-life to life. I mean, there is this miracle and people just accept it as if it happened. And these are miracles that are much greater than the resurrection. I mean, the formation of a universe, the formation that from nothing, the thing spontaneously forms. I mean, how do you even put this together in your mind as a scientist? It's hard to do this. And as you had talked about the cosmological constants, I mean, if they were just slightly off, there's no life. As a chemist, I know if the dipole moment of water, just this dipole that it's a little bit more positive on one end and a little bit more negative on the other end of water, if it's just slightly off by a fraction of 1%, then life doesn't exist. you look at this and you say, why did it happen to be just right? You say, well, it happened to be just right and everything else formed around it. But you've got like 42 other constants that you've got to deal with that all happened to be just right together to make this work.
I wanted to expand on, you know, the fine-tuned universe in this book, which I do. And I have a whole chapter on water. Michael Denton, Discovery Institute, wrote a book about it. It is astonishing. I mean, no one teaches this in schools. What we know about water is just almost crippling to take it in. You think it's just not possible. I thought water was just this neutral, omnipresent stuff. What's the big deal? And just as you said, when you start looking into it, you think this is creepy. This is clearly a brilliant design, so brilliant that it's almost paralyzing when you understand, and that's just water. We're just talking about water, its ability to dissolve rocks. I mean, I only learned in the course of writing this book that if water didn't have just the viscosity that it happens to have, it wouldn't erode rocks as it flows over them. And because it erodes rocks, it carries the minerals and the metals with it and disperses them wherever it runs to feed all of the trees and the flora. And you think, who thought of that? That's amazing. So all of those distant trees and vegetation, if water can reach it, all these other things are reaching it because of the viscosity of water. And then when animals eat those tree or eat those leaves and things, they are taking in the minerals and the metals. And you think, this is just, it just doesn't end. It gets more and more complex and fascinating. I think, Jim, that we're really on the verge of a lot of people just realizing that there's no way around it. God is real. You can think what you want, but you can't think there's no God. It's become intellectually, I think, unacceptable.
Yeah, and you know, I was just talking with some students about the resurrection of the body. And people will say, how are you going to get all these molecules together? What if the person was cremated? Look, our bodies are never the same from one instant to another. C.S. Lewis used to say that every 7 years, our body, the molecular structures turn over. He was wrong. It happens continuously. Every time you take off one hydrogen atom and you put on another one, proton, it's not the same atoms that make up that molecule. And these transfers are happening thousands of times per second. Thousands of times per second, every molecule in your body is changing. Every molecule is a different molecule. It has the same function, but it's not made up of all the same atoms. And the atoms can come in. Every proton that comes in, it can come and spin up or spin down. And so there's all these different possibilities, and it's mind-boggling. Everything is different. You're not the same man you were when you walked on this set an hour ago.
You're frightening me. Stop it. You're frightening me. I'm scared. Listen, this is so – I mean, it's funny. The more we learn – it's like when you were talking about abiogenesis. The more we learn about anything, the more fascinating it is. It doesn't get simpler. It gets more complex the more we look into these things. What you just said, of course, is true, and we're only scratching the surface, let's face it. I mean, we haven't gotten into – we don't have the time, but to get into to quantum physics. I mean, what they say happens in quantum physics, you say, wait a second. That's just crazy stuff. How do you go from Newton to this stuff? It seems to me that's why a lot of physicists do probably believe in a God, because they don't know where else to go.
It's so amazing. And you know, you see even the humor of God in all of this. We really think we're something, but the vast majority of what we're made up of is empty space. You could put the entire Earth in something the size of a football stadium if you just get rid of the empty space.
Right.
If you get rid of all the empty space, you can't even see yourself. It's so small. We're made up of mostly empty space.
It's just so much fun to talk to you. I'm sorry we're out of time. Your website, or rather your YouTube, is Dr. James Tour on YouTube. People should check you out. They will check you out. James Tour, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey there, folks. I'm in Connecticut. My dad is back in the hospital dealing with an infection. It's kind of serious when you get to this age. So those of you who are praying, let me just say thank you. God bless you, because I'm positive about this, and I'm excited to see what happens. Honestly, there's so much information right now, Albin. We've just talked to James Tour. Now, anybody who knows James Tour knows that there are two chapters in my new book, Is Atheism Dead? I hate to bring that up on this program, but in my book, there are two chapters about James Tour. He's one of the greatest scientists on planet Earth. He's a man of profound faith. And in this hour, we've talked about the faith side of things with him. If you're interested in what this super genius thinks about God and about science, you should go to my book, Is Atheism Dead? Now, Is Atheism Dead? You have to pre-order it to get a copy, but we're asking everyone who can to please pre-order. I put a couple of links on Twitter and other places. You can pre-order it for 45% off. Folks, it never gets better than that. Jump on this before they change it. I don't know why they're doing this, but I'm asking you, do your Christmas shopping. You cannot get a $28 book for $14.97 normally. And this book is loaded with apologetics. Some of it is actually weird, interesting stories. Albin and I will be talking about that in the weeks ahead. I should also say that at the end of hour two today, we're talking in hour two to Matt Rosenberg. He's a Chicagoan who really dives into what is happening in that city. Very interesting. Don't go away. You want to listen to that. But Albin, I got to say right now, I have a note here.
You do?
I'm going to be on Newsmax tonight at 9 p.m. talking about Christopher Columbus.
Oh, wow.
People don't know this, but I met Columbus. He was pretty old by then, and I was just a kid, but fascinating guy. I'm going to talk about Christopher Columbus on Newsmax tonight with Steve Cortez. Miss that.
Can I just quickly say, happy Columbus Discovers Indigenous Peoples Day.
Isn't it incredible? They didn't know that they were being discovered, and yet they were. That's what's so crazy about it. No, it's a checkered, difficult history, but let's not make it more difficult than it is. And I think a lot of people, they sort of want to be negative and anti-American. That's bad. That doesn't help anybody, frankly, and least of all, the indigenous people of this nation. So if you think it does, you're mistaken. But look, here's what we have to talk about. I have written down that ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, we have a winner. Can we announce that next week or at the end of the next hour?
I think we should announce it tomorrow, because I want to clear his name. I asked him if it's okay to announce his name, but he gave $2,500.
Well, we said anybody who gives $2,500 to the Alliance Defending Freedom by going to our website, metaxastalk.com, you will get a Make America Great Again hat signed by President Trump. And by the way, I was there when he signed it. I oversaw the signing. I really supervised it. And I carried that hat home with my own little hands in the car, drove it home, took care of it, nurtured it. I fed it with soy milk because it had allergies. I brought it into the office, and now it can be yours. You can care for it and watch it grow. It's exciting. So we're going to announce that person. Now, if you haven't yet given the Alliance Defending Freedom, we need your help desperately. I'm not going to kid around. We need your help. Alliance Defending Freedom. You got to go to metaxastalk.com. There is nothing more under attack than religious liberty. Can you vote today? No, you can't vote. It's not a voting day. What can you do? You can give something to Alliance Defending Freedom. If you understood what they do and you understand the urgency of protecting religious liberty, you would not hesitate, folks. You would not hesitate. I hope someday you don't figure out, whoops, I should have given something. I promise you, not only is it tax deductible, but it goes to an organization that is all in. They are sacrificing everything they can, including lucrative careers, to fight the battle for you and me on religious liberty. Very important. Go to metaxastalk.com, metaxastalk.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter. While you're there, pre-order my book. Do whatever you can, but go to metaxastalk.com. Thank you.
Yeah.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.